This is Freak Show.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
You are a hilarious dude.
So glad you could join me. The first thing I want to do is thank everyone for listening, but I want to give a special shout out to all the people who spread the word about the Rockcast. Because I don't really advertise the show other than, say, t-shirts or on Facebook when I announce each episode. But some of you guys, like Garrett, Kyle, Fabrice, Amy, Anthony, Christopher, and Justin, just to name a few, will actually share those posts that I put on Facebook with their friends. And before you know it, everybody is listening to the Rockcast.
No, they're not, idiot.
So thanks to everyone for spreading the word. I really appreciate it.
You're sitting there with almost no audience.
And speaking of Facebook, if you're one of my friends on there, you may have recently got a message from me. And it had my name and my picture and a little link you could click on. Only problem was, I didn't send the message. You see, I don't know how they do it, but somehow somebody hacked my account. And they sent out these bogus messages to most of my friends, and I heard back from about 100 people. And I was getting emails and text messages, and people were like, dude, what's this link about? What's this thing you sent me? And then I got a bunch of them that said, dude, you've been hacked. So I just got on there and changed my password, and I think everything's back to normal. But I apologize to anybody that got those messages and clicked on the link. Even though it wasn't my fault and I had nothing to do with it, I know a lot of people maybe got hacked themselves, and some others were just kind of disappointed. I know a few of you were like, dang, I thought you just messaged me. I thought maybe you were just being a nice guy.
You? Not a chance.
Well, first of all, I try to answer everybody who ever emails me. So if you get something back from me, that's not unusual. But if you do get something from me, here's the surefire way to tell whether it's me or not. Number one, if you get a message or email from me out of nowhere and it has a link in it and I don't explain what the link is, it's not me. But number two, and most important, if you get an email from me and it has an emoji on it, it's definitely not me. I do not do smiley faces. But I get it. You get this email from me and you see a link, you want to click on it. And some of you could not resist and you clicked on it and it took you to a weird website. And from what I understand, some of these websites were offering free boobies for a year.
Oh my gosh.
And so to everyone who clicked on those links, I am sorry. To all the guys who got free boobies for a year, you are welcome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get the show rolling with a visit from my old friend here in Kansas City, Jimmy Jeff.
Jimmy Jeff's concert and CD reviews.
The views and opinions of Jimmy Jeff do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Rockcast.
Yep.
Any similarities between Jimmy Jeff and other morons, rednecks, or mentally impaired are merely coincidental.
I heard that.
On the phone, it's Jimmy Jeff.
Hey, what the hell is going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Well, not too bad. I guess I can't complain.
Good, good. Well, you know, I could have sworn I saw you the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was in Walmart, and I saw this guy with a mullet and a trucker hat, and he was wearing a t-shirt that said, I'm with Stupid.
Yeah?
And then I looked closer and realized, oh, no, that's not Jimmy Jeff.
It wasn't?
No, that's just what 90% of the men who live in Kansas City and go to a Walmart look like.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, so it was an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, so anyway, what's new with you? How's the family?
Well, Jimmy Jeff Jr. got thrown back in jail again.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's he in for?
Oh, you know, the usual stuff.
Yeah?
Not paying child support.
Oh.
Marijuana possession.
Oh, that too.
Carrying a concealed weapon without a permit.
Ah.
Drunk and unorderly conduct.
I see.
Resisting arrest.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Assault and battery.
Oh, my.
Failure to appear in court.
I see.
And, of course, violating his probation.
Oh my God. Well, is he gonna be okay?
Oh yeah. I mean, he'd rather be in jail than have to go get a job.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope that works out for him.
Well, you know, he ain't ever gonna amount to nothing.
No?
I mean, I tried to raise him the best that I could.
Sure.
But all he wants to do is sit around and drink beer and play on his Xbox.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jimmy Jeff, I know you like to rock out, so is there anything new here lately that you've been listening to?
Well, I mostly listen to the radio.
Right.
My favorite station's 98 The Rock.
Uh-huh.
They play stuff like Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah.
AC/DC.
Right.
But then every now and then they mix in some Shinedown or Creed.
All right. Well, if you like Creed, you might be interested in this.
Huh?
Their former guitarist, Mark Tremonti, has a new CD out.
Huh, no way.
Yeah, it's called Dust. Let's check it out and see what you think.
Alrighty.
What do you think of that, Jimmy Jeff?
Well, that don't sound too bad.
Yeah, well, for once, I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, well, I love Creed.
Yeah, well, I personally never liked Creed, but Mark Tremonti just keeps getting better and better as a solo artist. Okay, so what'd you think of that?
I guess it's okay.
Okay? Wow, I'm surprised, Jimmy Jeff. I thought you'd love this stuff.
Well, I like the guitar and all, but maybe it's just his voice I don't care for.
Well, you know, I think he's improved on every album with not only his songwriting, but his vocals. And I thought he just sang really great on this CD.
Well, maybe so, but he ain't no Scott Sapp, nor will he ever be.
Ugh. Okay, so Jimmy Jeff, have you ever heard of Blackstone Cherry?
Well, I've heard of Blackberry Smoke, and I've heard of Buck Cherry. Are they anything like that?
Well, yeah, sort of. And they're actually going on tour this summer with Shinedown.
Oh, well, hell, I gotta get tickets to that.
Well, they've also got a new CD out. It's called Kentucky. So let's check out some Blackstone Cherry. You know, I was thinking, Jimmy Jeff, you know, you've got hardcore music, you've got grindcore, metalcore. They ought to call this stuff neckcore.
Why?
Well, you know, this is music played by rednecks for rednecks. Call it neckcore.
I like southern rock.
Huh?
I love me some Skinner and the 38 Special.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. So that's Blackstone Cherry, if you're into that kind of thing. And here's something that might be right up your alley, Jimmy Jeff. It's the new Texas Hippie Coalition with their new CD, The Dark Side of Black.
I ain't never heard of them.
Yeah, well, give it a listen.
I just thought that I'd stop to warn you. I couldn't stop it, even if I wanted to. I just thought that I'd stop to tell you. I couldn't stop it, even if I wanted to. I know there'll be a few surprises, and there'll have to be some compromises. And I know that we all have our vices, but there's gonna be some sacrifices. On and on and on and on and on and on it goes again. Pound and pound and pound and pound my head into the wall again. Round and round and round and round and round and round we go again. Pound and pound and pound and pound my head.
Who'd you say that was?
That's the Texas Hippie Coalition.
Where are they from?
Well, based on their name, I'm gonna guess, Texas.
Oh, well, I figured that, you dumbass. I mean, are they, like, from Dallas or what?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Yeah, I like Pantera.
Yeah, well, they're like a cross between, you know, Pantera, Hell Yeah, and ZZ Top or something like that.
Yep.
It's actually kind of cool.
Have I ever told you about my friend's band?
Yeah, I think you have.
They practice a couple of nights a week down at the Auto Body Shop there in the back.
Okay, well.
And they got this guitar player that's better than Randy Rhoads.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're gonna record an album.
All right, well, thank you for being on the show, Jimmy Jeff.
Yeah, no problem. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go take a whiz.
Okay.
I gotta piss like a Russian racehorse.
All right, Jimmy Jeff. Well, take care, and don't let your meatloaf.
All righty. Take her easy.
Will do, man. And here's some more Texas Hippie Coalition. I got an email from Gary in Baltimore recently, and he told me that he went and saw Dream Theater in concert not too long ago, and he said that their new CD is called The Astonishing, as probably most of you know, and it's a 2.5 hour concept album, rock opera type of thing. And he said that the band announced before the show that they were going to be doing the entire album in its entirety. But that's all they were going to be doing. You weren't going to get to hear any old songs. And Gary thought that was kind of a ballsy move of Dream Theater, but at the same time, they announced it ahead of time, so he knew it going in, and he didn't mind. And apparently the show was at a place called the Hippodrome, which Gary says is a theater that mostly has musicals and plays. And when he walked in, they were handing out those playbill things, kind of programs that you get at Broadway shows. And so the whole evening was kind of artsy. But Gary says that Dream Theater played superbly, and I guess that's a given. And even though he doesn't fully understand the whole story that's in the lyrics and all that that goes with the album, he still loved the show.
Gary is a very weird guy.
Well, thanks for the review, Gary. Sounds like you had a good time. And yeah, it sounds like Dream Theater is trying to do something a little different, a little artsy, and I guess that's cool. I'm not sure it's something that I would like that much, but who knows? The whole virtuoso wankery thing gets a little old for me after a while. And I think after about 40 minutes of that technical stuff, I'd be ready for the band just to, you know, hit that open D and ride on it.
What does that mean?
How about we quit worrying about blowing everyone's mind and just rock? But I get it. That's not what Dream Theater is. They're all about being phenomenal. And that they are. But if it's me, you know, I'm thinking if I don't play some of the old stuff, it's kind of cheating the fans. I think if Galactic Cowboys went out and just played a new album and that's it, people would be pissed. But I don't know, maybe the Dream Theater prog nerds don't care about that kind of thing. As long as they can sit there and watch John Petrucci's fingers move really fast for 2.5 hours, they're probably happy campers. But good for Dream Theater. They're pushing the envelope, and they are definitely ballsy. Back when we toured with them, they were doing like 10-minute songs. But then they were eventually like, wait a minute, 10 minutes isn't quite self-indulgent enough. We're going to do an album where the whole thing is one song. And then these days, they're like, okay, we're putting out a double CD with one song on it, and when you see us play live, that's all we're doing, and if you don't like it, we'll screw you. And the Dream Theater fans are like, okay.
Running around with their pocket protectors and their white short sleeve shirts.
But enough about Dream Theater, let's talk about me. And I have a concert review of my own.
Actually, none of us really care about you.
Back on April 29th, Lindsay and I got to go see The Who here in Kansas City.
Who?
I've been a fan of them since I was in high school, and Who's Next was one of the first albums, or first rock albums anyway, that I just completely got obsessed with. I also loved Tommy, I loved the movie, and then in college I got into Quadrophenia, and then I finally saw the movie The Kids Are Alright. And I was sitting there in the movie theater watching it on the big screen, and when Pete Townsend goes sliding across the stage on his knees, I just lost it. And from that moment on, I was on a lifelong mission to be a rock star. Keith Moon was my favorite drummer of all time, and Pete Townsend was like a god to me. And I'd always get chills every time I'd see video of him, but I never got to see him actually in person. And so over a year and a half ago, I heard they were coming to Kansas City, and Lindsay asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, tickets to The Who. Unfortunately, the show got postponed back then because Roger Daltrey was having problems with his voice. And to make a long story short, we had to wait 560 days for this show finally to get rescheduled and come back, and we finally got to see him.
This is an extremely interesting story.
And so we got to the arena around 7:30, and the opening band was already playing, and it was somebody called Sly Diggs. They're from England, and they sound a little bit like The Stones, The Who, and that kind of thing, and they're actually pretty cool. The only drag was that when the show was originally scheduled, it was supposed to be Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. But I guess after a year and a half, Joan had something else to do. So it was Sly Diggs instead, and they played till about, I don't know, 8:15, and then it was time for The Who around 8:45. And they come walking out, and I see Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey in the flesh, and I can't believe I'm in the same building with these guys. And they're around 70 years old now or something, and you're thinking, well, are they still gonna have it? Well, yes, they do. Pete starts doing the windmills, and Roger Daltrey was hitting the notes. And I turned to Lindsay, and I said, you know, this show sounds amazing. You know how many shows you've been to where the sound is terrible and you can't even tell what song they're playing at first? Well, it sounded like we were listening to a big, huge stereo, and Pete Townsend's guitar was just roaring. And song after song after song was just great. They did old stuff like I Can See for Miles. They did Bargain and Behind Blue Eyes. They did stuff off Tommy and Quadrophenia. And then they wrapped it up with Babo O'Reilly and Won't Get Fooled Again. And the band was great. They had Zach Starkey on drums, and they had Pete's son on guitar. And they played everything really well to perfection, and all that was great. But I gotta say, the main thing for me, it was just a real emotional experience. I knew it wasn't gonna be like seeing them back in the 60s or 70s or even 80s. But I just sat there and took it all in, and in a way it was just a chance for me to show my appreciation to them. Because they have meant so much to me in my life and in my career and musically, I just wanted to kind of thank them. And as I'm listening to some of those songs like Love Rain on Me, it just took me back to like my college apartment in Springfield, Missouri. And songs like that meant so much to me, and you know, I just started kind of welling up with tears. And that happened a couple of times during the show, and it just was really meaningful.
Oh, that's precious.
And so that's my review of The Who in concert, and it was great. And my thanks go out also to Lindsay for buying the tickets and taking me. It was very unselfish of her because she's never been a big Who fan or even really listened to them that much, but she knew I was a huge fan, and she wanted me to experience it, and I thank her for that.
This is truly sickening.
And so if you get a chance to see The Who on their 50th anniversary tour, do it. I don't know if they have any shows left, but it's well worth it. One of the greatest bands of all time, led by one of the biggest geniuses of all time, Pete Townsend. I got another email recently from Paul in Florida. And Paul said he was honored to be in the top 10 playoffs and very surprised that he finished in the top 4. He also liked my list of favorite bass players, and he said he loved the total breakdown that I did of Make Me Smile, and he was wondering if I could make that a reoccurring segment. Well, all right, Paul, you asked for it, you got it. And how about I do one for the Galactic Cowboys song, Still Life of Peace?
Do it. now.
Yes, this is Monty's Total Breakdown. It's where I take a song, usually something that I was a part of, and I tell y'all about the ins and outs and behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on when it was recorded. And Still Life of Peace was one of the most unusual, unique songs that Galactic Cowboys ever did. But for some reason, once we got it recorded and finished, we decided not to put it on the album, and I'm guessing that it was Geffen's fault. They probably thought it was either too long or too weird or something, and so we ended up making it a hidden track. And so at the end of Space in Your Face, we kind of buried it to where you had to kind of search for it and find it, and when it came on, it was a surprise. But when I sit back and listen to it now, I go, wow, what a cool song. As I recall, we started working on this when we were writing stuff for the first album. And I brought this in, and I had a lot of music and the melody, but I didn't have any words. And Ben said, well, I've got this idea about this guy who's looking at a painting, and he's wondering what it would be like to go inside the painting and live. So Ben wrote the lyrics, and then we worked on all the harmony vocals. Of course, we're all big Beatle fanatics, but especially Alan, and before we started recording this song, we decided to purchase some weird Indian instruments. And the percussion on the verses is these things called the tablas. They almost kind of look like bongos, and Alan played those. And we bought a sitar for Dane, and as far as I know, he had never played a sitar in his life. But when Sam Taylor hit record, Dane just played the hell out of that thing. We also used cello on the song, and that was played by a guy named Max Dyer. And we used Max on several songs, but he really added so much to this tune.
Finally, someone saying the obvious.
The song really doesn't have a chorus. It's got verses and then kind of a little bridge section. But you know me, I couldn't resist putting a little metal in the middle. So that was Still Life of Peace, and it's about 7 minutes long, and it was just one of those deals where it kind of started out as a simple kind of thing, but once we all put our ideas and everything together, it turned into a really cool, creative studio cut. And I wish now that we wouldn't have made it a hidden track. We should have just put it on there, but you know, you live and learn.
You dimwit!
Regardless, that's the story behind the song, and this has been Monty's Total
Breakdown.
Wanting the wind, the snow, or the sun.
So that was for Paul in Florida, and also in his email, he wanted me to know that he's happy that I'm feeling better. And even though he enjoyed all the jokes about kidney stones, he's glad I'm not dealing with that anymore. And then he finished his email by saying, I sent you a donation because I know how much medical bills suck. The Rockcast rules. Be well, Paul in Florida. Well, Paul, I can't thank you enough for the donation, man. Medical bills do indeed suck, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And I do appreciate it so much when people donate or buy my stuff or order my t-shirts, CDs, or paintings, because that money does help me and my family a lot. But don't worry, I'm not going to be like these other podcasters who say, thank you for your donations, because without them, this show could not continue. Because when I hear that, I always think, really? Okay, well, gee, I hope that doesn't happen, because I can't imagine going through life without an Eddie Trunk podcast. I mean, what would I do if I couldn't hear any more interviews with the former members of UFO?
I will never get tired of that.
But all that aside, I really do appreciate all your donations, and if you'd like to make one or buy some of my stuff, go to MontyColvin.net. Because let's face it, medical bills suck, a lot of things suck, and a lot of things aggravate me. And that's why I'm going to do a new segment called That Pisses Me Off.
Wow!
That's right, this is a brand new segment, and it's nothing like any of the other segments where I just complain about stuff.
I don't think it's the same.
And let's start with medical bills. When you go to the doctor or hospital or emergency room, the first thing they want to see is your insurance card. And of course, you got to have insurance in case something goes wrong and you get sick. And that's why Lindsay and I pay hundreds of dollars every month for insurance. And then you finally need it, and you get all these surgeries and procedures and x-rays. And then about a month later, you get a bill from the hospital. And you see that 2 hours that you spent in the emergency room cost $10,000. But then you look at the bottom and it says insurance has paid for everything except $250, which you owe. And you're like, okay, well, that's not too bad. But then a week or two later, you get another bill. And this one's from the doctor that was in the emergency room. And as in my case, you have to have a couple more surgeries. And every time you do, you get another bill. And so even with insurance, you still end up owing a couple of $1,000s to everybody.
All right, this is too heartbreaking. I can't take it.
And it all just seems like such a racket. I mean, does the guy who gives me anesthesia really have to charge $6,000 to put me to sleep for 30 minutes?
No.
But he does because he can, and I will be paying off doctor bills for the next year or two. And I'm also guessing that my insurance rates are now going to go up. Why? Because I had to use the insurance. So either way, I get screwed by the system, and it pisses me off.
Wow, that just made my head spin right there.
Something else that pisses me off is my wife.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, she's the greatest, and I love her so much, but I will never understand her because she's a woman. Like, she'll set the alarm clock for 5:45 when she has no intentions of getting up before 7. And I'm like, why don't you just set the clock for 7 and then just get up? And she says, no, I need time to wake up. And I say, okay, but when that clock goes off at 5:45, I wake up, and then all I have to do is lay there and watch you sleep. To which she says, yeah, what's the problem? Another thing that I hate that my wife does is when she sends me a text that will just say something like, oh my God. And that'll be all it says. No explanation, just OMG. And I'll text back and go, what? And a lot of times she won't answer me back, and I'll be sitting there for like the next half hour going, what could this be? I mean, maybe she was in a horrible accident. Maybe she's hurt, dying in the hospital. Or maybe she just won the lottery. It could be bad, it could be good, but either way, I'm sitting there wondering and worrying until she answers back. And when she finally does, it's usually something like, oh, I found the cutest pair of boots at the shoe store.
Ah, there you go.
Speaking of women, have you ever been watching TV and you're watching some big event like the Super Bowl or, the NBA Finals? And you see some chick sitting on the front row and she just looks bored out of her mind? And you're thinking, God, I would do anything to be at that game and have that seat. But here's this woman sitting in it, and she doesn't even care or want to be there. And why should she care? She probably didn't have to pay for that seat in the first place. And you know she didn't have to pay for it if she's hot. Because men will do anything for a hot chick. Trust me, I'm married to one. And if she tells me to jump, I say, do I have to? And if the NFL draft is on, but she says we're going to a Cub Scout meeting instead, I say, okay, when do I need to be ready?
What a wimp!
And it's all because women rule the world and hot chicks get all the breaks. And you may want to write me and say, hey, Monty, I'm a hot chick, and that's not true. To which I would say, you think you're hot, huh? Well, quit being so arrogant. You're pissing me off.
Oh, yeah, you know, whatever.
Now, on the last episode, I talked about how much kids annoy me, but it's not always their fault. Sometimes the parents have to take responsibility because, you know, parents do a lot of stupid things. And I think a lot of it starts at birth when they name the kid. I mean, you can't just name your kid something normal like Bob or Karen. It's got to be something weird. And black people have been doing this for years, naming their kids stuff like Shamiqua and Minoxidil. And they can get away with that because they're black.
Say what?
But now the white people think they've got to try and be cool and get creative.
I'm down with that.
And the other day I heard these parents say that they had named their kid Spicoli. And I thought, you know, you do realize that you named your kid after a character in a movie that is basically known as a big, huge, pothead loser.
Yeah!
On the other hand, I was in a restaurant the other night, and this young guy comes up to our table and says, "Hi, my name's Xander. I'll be your waiter." And I said, Xander, huh? Were your parents big Cheap Trick fans? And he looks at me and says, "Huh?" And I said, "Oh, well, I thought your parents might have named you after Robin Zander from Cheap Trick." And he just looked at me confused like he had never heard of Robin Zander or Cheap Trick. And not only did it aggravate me that he acted like he didn't know what either of those things were, I thought, you mean to tell me in your 20 years of life no one's ever said that to you before?
Man, this pisses me off.
Now here's something else that I cannot stand. It's when I've recorded a game on my DVR and somebody tells me the outcome of that game before I even get home and have a chance to watch it.
How dare they!
It's 2016 and just about everybody has a DVR. And it's just common courtesy to say, "Hey, did you see that game?" And at least give them time to respond, "No, I recorded it. Please don't tell me the score." And I know it may not seem like a big deal to some people, but if I'm going to watch something, I don't want to know the outcome before I see it. Kind of like the other day, somebody asked me if I'd seen this particular movie. And I said, "No, I haven't seen that yet, but I want to. It looks really good." And they said, "Yeah, it is." And then they proceeded to tell me every single detail about the plot and everything that happened. And by the end, I knew I didn't need to see that movie ever. So for the love of God, please stop spoiling the endings of sporting events, movies, and TV series for me. This is not the Stone Age. We have digital recorders, we have HBO, and we have Netflix. Just because I didn't see Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead when they originally aired doesn't mean you have to tell me who died.
Okay, it sounds like you have anger.
And that concludes this segment of...
That pisses me off.
I'm already getting backlogged with top 10 lists this year, but it's all right. Keep them coming. And let me knock out one right now. It's from Michael McCollum in Ohio, who is also my evil twin. And Michael has sent me an interesting list that has the top 10 songs that refer to the periodic table.
It freaks me out because I'm not that smart.
Yeah, I was never good in science in school, and it actually took me a little bit of time to figure out what Michael was talking about here. But I think you'll start to understand as I go along. And it starts out at number 10 with Love Is Like Oxygen by Sweet. Number 9 is Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Number 8 is Tin Soldier by the River Dogs. Number 7 is Gold Digging Whore by Steel Panther. Number 6 is Lithium by Nirvana. Number 5 is Neon Nights by Black Sabbath. Number 4 is Platinum by Snoop Dogg. Number 3 is Gold on the Ceiling by the Black Keys. Number 2 is Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac. And number 1 on Michael's list, Iron Maiden by Iron Maiden. Well, good job, Michael, and thanks for the list. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you haven't gotten your Rockcast t-shirt yet, well, go to my website and order one, because they're freaking cool. Also, after you get your Rockcast t-shirt, send me a picture of you wearing it, and I'll put it on my website, and there you shall be for everyone to gaze upon. Because I'm sure you're wondering, what do Michael in Ohio and Gary in Baltimore look like? Ah! Well, check out the podcast photos and find out.
It's scary. It's very, very scary.
Now, on the last episode, I mentioned a band called Honeymoon Suite.
I don't want to hear about it.
And they were from Canada back in the 80s, and I had a lot of you guys comment on them and say, oh, wow, I can't believe you mentioned them. And I know it's possible some of you had never even heard of them.
Oh, wonder who you're talking about, punk.
So I thought, you know, what the hell? I think I'll play one of their songs to end the show.
Good, do it!
You may remember this song from 1986. It was called Feel It Again. It was off their album, The Big Prize.
Just play it!
And so I hope you enjoy it, and you'll come back and join me on the next Rockcast.
Go to hell, where you came from!
But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
If you
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
I thought the thing was never going to end, to be perfectly honest.
In your face.